Hey guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least four shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.
Actually, he is here. He's sitting right across from me. And Bob, it's time to do
with a lovely poinsettia, or is it poinsettia from Sorgel's Orchard?
And lots of them, and they really do add a holiday festivity to the proceedings, do they not, Limits? I can't even see you above the poinsettias.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I need to get a higher chair. They're
nice. Is it poinsettia?
I've never heard poinsettia. Could be, for all I know.
I always say poinsettia, just like I would never say forte. I always say forte, not fort. Technically, I think it's fort.
What? I've never heard that in my life. So my fort is eating grapes or something? I didn't catch that last part.
That always gets cut off, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, the wooden teeth.
All right, Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. Professor Fittipaldo, we like to call him. Let's go along with his grades, Bob. You ready? And Limits, please?
Yes, we'll go.
Yes.
Quarterback. Aaron Rodgers talked the medical staff into letting him play with a soft cast. I was thinking about that this morning. If he doesn't talk them into that, is he able to hold on to the ball or fight to the extent that he did on that critical play where it was ruled that he caught his own pass? Don't you wonder about that, Bob?
Not really.
You think he would have been able to do the exact same thing with a bulky cast on?
I think he was in game mode and he just reached out. I don't think it would have made a difference.
I'm stunned by that, Limits. I think if he had a bulkier cast on, it's difficult to control a ball.
I agree. I do think that the brace that we saw that he was wearing against the Bears, if he was wearing something like that, no, I don't think he's going to be able to grab it as well as he did.
What is Bob talking about here? Has he ever tried to grab something with a hand that's casted compared to a hand that's not?
Bob, that significantly impairs your ability to hold the ball.
It significantly impairs your ability to hold the ball.
He just got the ball with two arms and he had possession, so he would have been able to do that.
Well, why couldn't he, hand off, or why did they go to the pistol against the Bears with that contraption on that they wanted him to wear again?
Well, because, first of all, it was the first week he had this injury. I think.
But they wanted him to do it. No, they were going to have him do it again, and he said no on Saturday.
Right. Okay, fine.
I'm stunned by this, Limits. I really am. Are you?
Me too.
Anyway, he wound up playing well, Bob. A season-high 284 yards, a touchdown. He ran for a touchdown. He flashed the discount double check celebration. He was heated competitively. He wanted to punch Artie in the face, it looked like, on one play. I thought it was him who spotted something on an easy touchdown for Jaylen Warren. It was just a really good winning performance. And yet Ray gives him only a B. I'm outraged by this. I'm going A minus for Rodgers.
I'm just going A, just a full A.
Yeah.
I thought he was the reason. More than anyone else, really, they won that game. He was in a fighting, spirited mood. I think that rubbed off on that team. They went down the field. Some of those throws were as perfect as they can be. He gets an A.
Why would Fittipaldo do this, Limits?
I don't understand. I give Aaron Rodgers an A as well. I thought he played arguably his best game in 2 months, maybe his best game as a Steeler. He played great.
Really tough grader. Now, he said the ending was far from perfect. I guess that's why I would give it an A-minus, is because they had chances to put the game away, and they really, really put the Ravens in position to win that game. I thought the offense did at the end, didn't you?
Yeah, but I don't know if that's his fault.
Well, if we're going to give him credit for what the offense does, when the offense falters, don't we take a little demerit away from
it? Well, but if they're going to call run plays and they get no rushing yards, how's that his fault?
They called a pass on third down.
Right, and they should have done it on second down. I think at that point, everyone knew there was a pass coming on third down because they had no other choice.
Running backs. Steelers running game, says Ray, seems broken at the moment. They won't win many other games when they total just 34 yards rushing. Here's the thing. I saw something when the Steelers have 55 or less yards rushing, I believe. They're 4-1 or something like that, Bob. That's the thing about having an explosive pass game. You don't need to run because you get 50 yards or 42 or whatever it might be on one play. So I'm not as obsessed with the running game as others if I have a pass game. The leading rusher was Kenneth Gainwell, 15 yards on four carries. Ray does talk about the catches that they made, but in the end, he only gives the running backs a C+, Bob. This is an outrage. I give them a B+.
I give them a C.
What did they do wrong?
Not enough yards for me.
What are they supposed to do?
Get more yards.
I thought Kenneth Gainwell made yards where there weren't. Were there more yards to get that they didn't get?
Well, maybe then it's just part of the lack of rushing is the way they're scheming some of these plays too. So it's a whole ball of wax there with that. I just think that's not – it's a very average running game right now, and I think I'm being generous by saying so. They need to have more consistency in the run game, which will help them then in other parts of their offense.
I thought Kenneth Gainwell made some pretty incredible, like, 3-yard runs or 5-yard runs where he was diving for the first down marker. He scored a touchdown. Jaylen Warren had a 38-yard touchdown catch. I'm giving them a B-plus for the game. I don't know if, you know, name a running back. I was going to say O.J. Simpson. I don't know if he gets a bunch of yards yesterday with the way the running game was schematically, the way it was blocked. There was nothing there. Mm. I'm not going to demerit the backs for that. In fact, I thought they made more than was there. Limits?
Well,
I'm going to give them an A-.
An A-?
Yes.
I give them a B-, basically raising the scale a little bit because of what they did in the passing game. Warren had the long touchdown. Kenneth Gainwell, a threat out of the backfield as well, had a couple of nice plays. They obviously didn't run it well enough, but that's just because it was a pass-heavy game, and they were involved in that.
Why is Bob giving everybody demerits all of a sudden?
I'm not. I gave Rodgers an A.
Oh, yeah. Receivers. DK Metcalf, season high, 148 yards. The debuts of Thielen and MVS, etc. No receiver other than Metcalf had more than one catch, says Ray, but his explosive plays were enough to carry the offense. This includes tight ends. He gives the receivers a B. Bob, what say you?
If you got to lump them all together, I give Metcalf an A+. The others would probably be a C, so collectively I'll give them a B.
Yeah, I think B is fair in this situation. Calvin Austin had a drop on the sidelines. That was the play where Rodgers went nuts and said, "We, you know, let's get to the line so they can't challenge. Nobody can look at this." It was a bad play. Short little pass, I think, would have gone for a first down. That's a big drop right there. So that's a demerit. But other than that, I don't know. It's tough to tell how they actually played. Were they open? People like Thielen and MVS, it sure didn't seem like it, Bob. Plus, Austin had a 38-yard catch down the sidelines. That was a big play.
That was a very big play, yes. Ball was right on the money again there, too.
I'll go B. I think that's fair. Limits?
B's all around. Average performance, but very above average for DK Metcalf.
O-line, Darnell Washington leaving hurt, says Ray. But Steelers could have used a running game with 2:22 left. He gives them a C. Rodgers really didn't get touched all game. I don't know. I give him a B. Minus, maybe a B minus, because it's a pretty big deal that their quarterback didn't get hit.
I think that's the biggest deal. They'll get a B plus from me, although I will give them a B plus and not an A because the run game has to get better and they're also responsible for that.
I give them a B minus, especially being able to keep Rodgers upright and not a lot of people hitting on that hand injury, the wrist injury that he has. I'm good with it.
Defensive line. Ravens rush for 217 on 40. I hear a lot of people making excuses for that, like, oh, it wasn't as bad as last year's playoff game. Yes, that was the worst playoff performance in Steelers history. I get that, but they still gave up some huge plays. They were a shoestring away, I thought, on a couple from Derrick Henry making huge plays. Yes, they made the tackles. I don't know, man. The defense was okay. It made a stand in the end, but it was more about, I think, an official's call and a couple of other things, then it was an outstanding performance by the defense. Don't you, Bob? I mean, I thought the Ravens probably had a 30-point worthy performance on the field yesterday. And the D-line, it was okay. I'll give them a C.
Yeah.
Ray said B minus.
I'd have to give them a C also because the yardage differential, and it's big. You know, they're down in those sorts of categories. And I think in order to get ready for a playoff opportunity, you have to secure that. You have to make that better. And it's funny because this maybe is the way their microcosm of their whole season. Against Jonathan Taylor, they locked him up. They didn't give him anything at all. Against the Bears, that two-headed show they have there, they locked them up pretty well. They got some, you know, later yardage. But I think overall they did a good job. Yeah, in some of these games, you know, like the Buffalo game and like this one and others, they've been ripped apart.
Yeah.
Up front. So I like your grade. I'll give it the same.
I still don't think that they played well, though, up front, though, guys. They gave up, what, 200 yards rushing?
That's what I'm saying. That's
back-to-back games, they've given up nearly 500 yards total to the opponent.
Yeah.
I give them a C.
Linebackers, B-minus. Highsmith, big game. I thought Watt actually played well. I thought he set a tone early. I thought he was noticeable and played pretty well. Cole Holcomb came in and had 9 tackles. Patrick Queen played hurt and had 7. I'm going to give them a B-plus, for God's sakes, Bob. You? Ray said B-minus.
Just a solid B for me.
Limits?
I mean, I take into account all the big plays they made.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I give them a B as well.
Secondary, Ray gives them a B-plus. There were some big plays in that secondary. Porter he had a couple penalties, and he got burned on the likely play, but he also stayed with it and made the play. James Pierre made an acrobatic interception. I thought a great play. And then you had Peppers. I mentioned the smashing tackle he had on Henry by the goal line. Clark stepped in for Duggar and was respectable. I think Zay Flowers may have beat him once. Ray gives him a B-plus. I agree with him for once.
And I do, too. I think B-plus is the right grade based on plays that they had to make at critical times.
Mr. P?
I agree. B-plus.
Special teams, not much happened there, Bob. I thought Waitman had a huge punt from the end zone, though. Although they were helped by a penalty there, right?
Yeah, he absolutely did.
And, I mean, what else even happened? Why does Ray give them a B-minus? Oh, the landing zone kick late in the first half. Remember that one, Bob?
Yeah. I mean, that. I think overall when he had to come up with a big kick, he did.
I give him a B.
Yeah, they were fine. I give him a B.
Coaching. 1 week after hearing fire Tomlin chants, Mike Tomlin brought his club to Baltimore, says Ray, and walked out victorious. His defense was on the field for 77 plays, Bob, and found a way to pull it out. They deserve full marks for a blood and guts effort. He gives the coaches a B. You know what? They won the game. They got lucky, but for Mike Tomlin to walk out of the fire that was the atmosphere around here this week and win a game, I'm going to give him an A.
I would give him an A also. I think they had to respond. They came off 2 bad efforts. The business is winning games, and they won a game. And they made some critical decisions leading up to that game with personnel, with rosters, and they seemed to work.
I give them an A-minus because they almost blew it at the end, but they did a good job of being able to hold off Baltimore and keep Lamar in check.
On the other hand, Bob, they got lucky to win the game, didn't they? I give them a C.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have luck. And they got luck.
But every
team that wins games ultimately has a couple of plays that work in their advantage.
Yeah, but these were a blatant drop by the goal line and at least one horrific call. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe 2. Some people think 3. I know. I'll downgrade it to a B-plus when you add in offense and defense, right?
Yes, that would be the right way to go, I think.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And Bob, our What's Cooking segment brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester, very kindly.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Cloudy today with a high of Paul Skeens, 30, a low of Calvin Austin, 19. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. I want to get back to this Kyle Schwarber thing in a minute, but let's hit just a few of the big games yesterday, Bob. And the one last night stood out because it was the Kansas City Chiefs' maybe demise. It might have been the end of the Chiefs. The game ended very fittingly with Travis Kelce dropping a pass and getting absolutely hammered on the play. And, man, that Houston defense is ferocious. I actually thought Mahomes was pretty good. His receivers let him down. He was running all over the place. Is this the end of the Chiefs, and did you take enjoyment from that?
I'm not sure if it is. Most likely it is. I think it's tough for them at 6-7. They have some tough games coming up. And yes, I'm kind of looking forward to a new team being involved instead of automatically just saying the Chiefs are going to win everything in the AFC.
Let me take back something there. When I look at Mahomes, good is not the right word. He had three interceptions and a 19.8 rating. I thought in the face of that defense, he actually made plays in the second. He was awful in the first half. He made plays in the second half. And his receivers just let him down. He was running for his life.
Yeah. Rashee Rice had a first down on a play that could have resulted in points, and he dropped it. He was wide open.
And he led his team in rushing with 59 yards. Courageous might be the better word for that. But there's no way you can look at that numbers and say he was
good. Well, that defense will make a lot of quarterbacks look bad.
Man, I'll say. They made Josh Allen look hideous. Limits, thoughts on the Ravens, Texans, Chiefs? Did you take enjoyment out of Kansas City's suffering?
Oh, yes, I took enjoyment out of it. And I took them out of my Super Bowl bubble a while ago. I'm glad that that is staying to fruition now, that they're not going to make it. It's great to see the dynasty go down like it was with New England.
I wasn't aware you had a Super Bowl bubble, and neither Bob or I knows what that means, do you?
It means the teams he thinks could get to the Super Bowl. And at what point you were willing to put them back into it?
I was thinking about it. They were like right on the outset of the bubble. Like the,
how many teams
right
you allowed
arm.
In the bubble?
About five or six.
Oh. I thought this was like a betting thing or like a pool of some kind.
No, just teams you think that could make the Super Bowl, like Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying as recently as 2 weeks ago that the Chiefs are the team I trust the most. Who is the team we trust the most in the AFC? I'm going to say New England right now.
I would say...
because of Drake May.
Yeah, I think so. But there are games that haven't been very impressive. They've won some of them. Some they should have lost, like the Cincinnati game. I thought they should have lost that game. So, I guess Denver. But I think it is pretty much wide open. I don't know. That's a good question. I can't think of a team that I would say is on an island by themselves.
That's instructive in the first place, and I think bodes well for a team like the Steelers that nobody's really fully trusted in the AFC.
I think Houston right now is a team I would fear the most, though. If I had to play a team right
so
now,
too. Although their offense stinks, Bob.
It does, but their defense makes up for that. They don't have to score a lot of points with that defense.
I don't know that they make up for it, but they're helping them win games. I think when you get to a playoff situation, you have an offense that's that bad, you're in trouble. But they're scary. I'll acknowledge that. Bills 39, Bengals 24. This was insane. I was watching the Steelers and Bills games at the airport in Nashville. Both of them were going down to the wire with crazy, crazy stuff happening. Burrow throws for four touchdowns. He goes 25 of 36 for almost 300 yards. But he throws consecutive interceptions, one of which is returned for a touchdown. Josh Allen makes ridiculous plays. The Bills might be coming here for a playoff game, and the Bengals are done, Bob, I think.
Yeah, that killed the Bengals. There's no way they can dig out from this. They had to win them all, and I thought they might beat Buffalo, and if so, look out. They could have been on a roll here because their schedule does lighten up after the Ravens next week. So, but now they're done. Browns are done. Ravens are still there, but they better get their act together because they got some tough games coming up. Starting with the Bengals, and I don't think that's going to be easy for them. And then it's Green Bay and New England.
Nothing against Joe Burrow when he's playing this well. And I know the one interception was a little fluky. He is on fire right now. Josh Allen said it after the game. That guy is historically good. He really is. They're dangerous. I don't care what the situation is. Limits?
If I was a team like the Rams next year or in 2 years with Matthew Stafford retiring, I would offer four first-round picks for Joe Burrow. I think that he could win Super Bowls in multiple different locations other than Cincinnati.
Who do you guys
seeing? Why?
Who do you guys like in a Buffalo-Pittsburgh rematch, Bob?
I think Buffalo would be favored because they came here before and won, and they have a run game that can win. James Cook is really good, and so is Josh Allen, so I would think they'll be favored. I would prefer them taking on the Chargers, quite frankly.
Me too. I'm sticking with Buffalo because I have them winning the Super Bowl, and I'm not willing to change that yet.
Holy horse oil. All right, back to the Schwarber thing. Ken Rosenthal said the Pirates have offered Kyle Schwarber a four-year deal that is likely worth over $100 million. I believe Filippone has said he'll give money to his Twitter followers.
Yes, $100
happens.
To 10 Twitter followers. How about Pony also, that shot he took at Lamar paid off too. Lamar clapped back at him and said, say less on Twitter. And then Pony went back at Lamar yesterday. How about that, Bob?
Wait, tell me more about that.
Yeah, so did you see
no.
that Okay, so what Pony put on Twitter, and I'm going to make sure that I get the correct tweet here, but he put something out there that got Lamar's attention to the point where Lamar Jackson tweeted back at Pony and said, say less to Pony's tweet. So Pony, what he said is, can we all agree that Lamar is at least is at the very least a little overrated? And Lamar responded, say less. And then Pony came back with a video last night laughing at Lamar and saying, Lamar, you were so confident, but you couldn't beat the Steelers.
See, I think that's part of the problem with Lamar, Bob, is that he hears too much and he gets tight in big games. Look at his record against the Bills, against the Steelers, against the Chiefs, and in playoff games. It's just, I'm starting to he's a great player. That's indisputable. He's two-time MVP, could easily be three-time. Maybe should have won it last year. But I'm sorry, at some point you have to do it in big games, and part of the problem there is he hears everything. He's listening to Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh. I mean, we all want people to listen to us, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes the best thing is get off social media. If you're one of these guys who gets bothered by it, then don't look at it. I don't understand why.
Why would
Lamar
you respond
Jackson
to that?
Lamar Jackson has not been good against good teams. When you look at his, you know, and that's a problem that goes deeper than this. It's not just the Steelers that he has problems against. It's other teams as well. And the big names, the Chiefs, the Bills, he hasn't been able to do well in those games. 1-6 against the Chiefs, 2-4 against the Bills, 3-5 against the Steelers.
And not good in playoff games. So,
right.
All right, in 10 seconds or less, we each get a shot here. Pirates, according to Rosenthal, 4 years over $100 million. I saw Dayon saying today that he tends to think this is an agent trying to putting this out, trying to sort of whip up the idea of a bidding war. That sounds very impressive. I'll believe it when I see it. I wonder if it's the kind of offer you know will get refused, Bob.
Well, that's my whole thing with it. You can make an offer, but if you know it's not enough, then it's easy to say, no, I'm not interested. It sounds good, $20 million plus. What they need to do is get one of these done. And then once that happens, I think then you'll believe a lot more of it. I hope they're involved. I want to see him here. They need a good 50 home run guy as a designated hitter.
Yeah, I'm not buying that will happen. In fact, I'd put a minuscule chance of it ever happening. Limits, 10 seconds.
I don't see much of a chance that it happens, and I hope it's not just media fodder for agents. Hopefully they actually go do make a big move, like a Polanco, Jorge Polanco, or a Suarez. Ketel Marte. That was floated out there as a trade option.
Like that.
Mitch Keller and another prospect for Ketel Marte. Signed through 2031. Give me that.
I'll take it.
Get me a proven bet. See you, gentlemen.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
See ya.
Aloha.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.